So I want to speak a message entitled, One of These Things Just Doesn't Belong Here. And I think you probably get an idea of where I might be going with this. So we prayed, we've given it to you, Jesus. Let's get into this message today. Looking forward. Looking forward was the message that I spoke New Year's morning. If you have not watched that or listened to it, please do, especially if you're going to be a regular attender here at the church or somewhat connected to the church. Please watch that and listen to that. I know it was not a real edifying message, but I'll tell you what, it's something the church today needs to hear. And so please, 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 God gave me that message. It was a prophetic, if not prophetic, it was a divine message from God for this church. And so if you're going to be a part of this church, please listen to what was said. And I told you at that point that I wasn't sure if that message would go on or if it was just a one-time thing. I didn't know if it was going to be just for that day or if there were some other thoughts that would come out. And this week as I was praying over the word that I was going to speak, I was led by the Holy Spirit to furthering a point of that message. And not all the stuff, don't worry, I think this is going to be an encouraging message today. It's going to really speak to you. But I felt God begin to speak to my heart about furthering that thought about the church, about living holy, about being sold out for Jesus, because so many of you responded to me that week and said, Pastor, it changed my heart. Some of you came and prayed with me about salvation or about rededication, and some other people did some things around the altar and so I know that God was getting to us. So I'm going to share a word with you that I believe, again, is a divine word to our church. As I was studying for it, I could just sense the Holy Spirit just speaking. Let me say this. Listen to that message on the first if you have not already done so, okay? Now, here's just a little blurb of some of the things I said on the first that I want to bring out just to bring us up to date. And then last week, my sister-in-law spoke, who I've never heard speak. She's never asked to speak, never wanted to speak, and called me from Maine and said, I just believe that God's given me a word. So I hope that it touched your heart last week. I know we had to leave at the end of it, but I hope that it touched your heart, because I know that Ashley's not one to say, I really think God wants me to say these things, if it wasn't that. So I really believe that it had to be in God's timing for our church. But we looked at Luke chapter 21 and the warning signs that Jesus gives us about the end days. And what I did with that is I took those verses and I compared them to things that are going on in the church today in America and in our world. And I talked about the phrase where Jesus says, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the Lord really spoke to my heart and said, looking up is more than just sitting on a hill somewhere with an instrument. You sold your house, sold your car, and you know Jesus is coming back, and so you're just going to sit down on a hill. Let's not laugh about that. People have done that craziness. And just looking at the sky. The Lord really spoke to me that looking up was living in assurance that Christ is coming back and that he is coming back very soon. And then secondly, being obedient to his word. In other words, living like a follower of Jesus Christ. Following the standard of life that Jesus gave to his church to live. In a world that is totally upside down, in a world that is totally against the standard of God in the days that we're living in, we decide to do what he says to do. No matter what they say about us, no matter how they mock us, no matter how they persecute us, we know this is the word of God. This is the life that God says that I should live. This is the life that I'm going to live. These are the things that I'm going to say. We are living in that world, in that chaotic world, in that upside down, sinful, rebellious world. We are living, the church is living, harmless, faultless, and blameless lives. Amen? That's what all that was about. And also we said that we are recognizing that God has not changed his word or his standard of how he will judge each and every one of us. We're all going to be judged. There's two judgment thrones. There's a judgment for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe that to be part of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. God will not return until every person has had a chance to come to Jesus Christ. So when he brings those ones who have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or those that are still sinning, okay? When he brings them before his judgment, they have no way to say, well, I didn't know, nobody ever told me, because he's a just God and he's going to make sure that they have known, okay? So that's the first judgment. The second judgment is the judgment of the saints, that we're going to stand before him and he's going to judge our works. He's going to judge the way that we live life. I'm going to be judged as a pastor. Did I preach the word? Did I preach the word uncompromisingly? Did I let the church know about the things that he's speaking to the church? Was I obedient to that? I'm going to give judgment as a father. How did I raise my children? What did I allow in my house? If my children aren't serving the Lord, why aren't they serving the Lord? Is that my problem? Did I do something that was wrong that led them away from the Lord? I'm going to be judged as a father. I'm going to be judged as a husband. Did I love my wife the way that I was supposed to? Did I love her the way Christ loved the church? Did I treat her the way that I was supposed to? I'm going to be judged as a brother. So there's a lot of things. In OSL, we do something called roles and goals, where you take your roles as a Christian. Okay, as a Christian man, I'm a father. So what does it mean to be a Christian father? And as a Christian father, I set goals. My other role is a Christian in a public school system in the world that we're living in today, okay? So as a Christian, as a teacher, as an aide in a classroom, in a public school system, as a believer, I have to set goals that God would say this, do this, be this. You see what I'm saying? And the roles and goals are something that we just look, okay, as a Christian, as a man, what are my goals in life and what are my roles in life and what should my goals be? And those things are constantly always evolving and growing. So OSL students, if you have those roles and goals, go back to them, continue to grow them, continue to look at them, continue to develop them, because I think it's very important that we do that. Today, I want to look at what the church should look like, who we should be, how we should be conducting ourselves in our world today, why what we are doing right now is so important to who we are called to be. That's what I want to look at today. So I don't know, do you remember those of us that watch Sesame Street, a little game that they used to play? They have a song for it. One of these things doesn't belong here. One of these things isn't like the others. One of these things doesn't belong here. And they would show us a square with maybe, or a rectangle with maybe four things. And three of the things had a relationship because of the shape or the color or something else. But one thing didn't belong there. And we used to get so joyful when we could pinpoint that thing and say, that's it. It doesn't belong there. It's not round. It's not square. It's not yellow. It's not blue. It's not whatever the case is. So you know what I'm talking about, all right? The majority of the items had some sort of relationship, but there was one that didn't, and so it stuck out. Well, I'm not going to be speaking today about how we should stick out, though I hope that you know that in the world that we live in today, we definitely should be sticking out as the people of God. What I want to do is I want to make a comparison this morning. What we should be like and how we should have the same looks as the Church of Jesus Christ way back when he first started it. The Lord, as I was developing some things, some thoughts on Wednesday and Thursday, he just spoke to me from a book that I was reading on church history. And I just said, okay, God, I get it. And so what I want to do is to better understand this Church of Jesus Christ that we are a part of. I want to look at that today. We need to go back a little bit. If we're going to understand the church that we're supposed to look like, if we're going to understand the things that we need to be about and what the church today in 2023 should look like, then we're going to have to go back a little bit to Jesus' discourse with Pilate before he was killed. The Roman leader of the day in Jerusalem, and see what their conversation was, because Jesus comes up with a very strong point about his kingdom and about what his church would be. And so over in John chapter 18, verses 33 to 38, we see this conversation, a little bit of this conversation, between Pilate in the praetorium and Jesus. Verse 33 of John 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" In other words, what do I care? "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say right that I am a king. And for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then Pilate said to him, and you've heard me speak messages on this because this just really affects me in my heart, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." In Pilate's questioning Jesus to the complaints against him, that he was the king of the Jews, Jesus answers with this statement. Basically, he says, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom, he says a second time, is not from here. What Jesus is doing there is he is setting up a standard. He's drawing a line in the sand between his followers and between the world. My kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is not of this world. And so Jesus sets a standard for the church that he is about to build. If his kingdom is not of this world, then those who are part of that kingdom, how many folks know this today? We are not of this world. And that's the lifestyle that we should be living. I believe that's the word that God brought out on January 1st this year on the message that he had me bring out to our church. Now, as I've already said, this is not a sermon to compare us to what we shouldn't be. But in this message, I want to compare the church to the church. I want to look at the church of 33 AD, the church that Jesus started on the day that he comes out of the grave and he says, breathes upon his disciples, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't go out, linger, tarry until the gift that the Father has promised has been poured out upon you, the breath of the Holy Spirit. And then we see that that happens and the church is born. The crowd doesn't understand it. They don't understand it all. But what I want to look is the comparison here, because it is a very important comparison that I believe will help us greatly in our trying to live for Jesus within the day that we are living. And we see this over in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the crowd doesn't understand what's going on here. They hear the gospel. They hear the message of Jesus Christ, what he came to do, what he had accomplished. They hear it in their own tongue. Wait a minute. How is this happening? I'm a Perthian. I'm a Mede. I'm from this country. I'm from that country. And these unlearned men and women are speaking in my language. They're telling me about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. How can this be? And you know what they say? These men and women are surely drunk. So Peter gets up and Peter speaks a message that cuts to the heart. And he includes words from the prophet Joel, who prophesied hundreds of years before this, that this very thing would take place. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls. And so Peter preaches this message. He says these men and women are not drunk. He says, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied of has come to you today. And then he goes into talking to them about how they crucified Jesus and how the things that they did brought about their own salvation and forgiveness. And Peter preaches a message that changes the heart of everyone who hears. Everyone. Because we know that over 3,000 men, just men, not women and children, are added to the church in one day. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 39, after Peter speaks. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. You might want to underline that, grandparents. Fathers, mothers, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And we see that the church is born. 3,000 people, men, not counting women and children, added to the church in one day. We see this over in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 to 47. And with many other words, he testified, again, Peter, and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the Holy Spirit rains down upon humankind, and the minds of those who hear the word of God are changed. The hearts of the believers are fortified. Can you imagine having 3,000 people added to your church in one day? I think that's going to fortify your belief in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, where do we buy enough chairs for that? You know what I'm saying? Look how long it took us to get 200 chairs. How are we going to sit 3,000? And the other people recognize just how far off they are from God. Oh, we are sinners. Oh, we are broken. Oh, we need Jesus. We need the sacrifice. And 3,000 men repent and turn from their sinful ways, are baptized, and join the life of this church in just that day. So what does the church in 33 AD look like that the church in 2023 AD should be? Well, number one, they had a Holy Spirit empowered living word that brought about change. Let me say that again. They had a Holy Spirit empowered living word that brought about change. I want you to know today that the church of 33 AD was empowered and created by the Holy Spirit, revealing the power of God's word in its midst. When these men spoke, people were moved. Here's Peter, the disciple who always put his foot in his mouth. Here's Peter, the one who couldn't say anything without getting in trouble. Right? He speaks for the very first time under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people, their lives are changed. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. What's the difference? For once, Peter didn't have to think about what he was going to say, though he never thought about it anyway. Peter just didn't have to rattle something off. Peter was giving what he would say by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to prepare ourselves in the Word of God. Those that speak in this church, those that teach in this church, we need to prepare ourselves in the Word of God. Because I want you to know that no longer are you just going to read off a piece of paper. We are going to be given words of life, words of wisdom, words of truth, words of divine interpretation to the church here, to the people that visit with us, and people are going to go out of this place changed by the power of that word. Because that's what the church in 33 AD had, and that's what the church in 2023 needs to have. In Peter's own words, Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." You see, what Peter says here is this. That's why I told you to underline. This was for the saints then, but it was for the saints who were to come. It wasn't just for them. And this is where some of the churches get it so mixed up and so messed up. They teach the people sitting in their pews, "Oh, these things aren't for the church today. They were just for the disciples. They were just for the apostles." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible, in every place where it talks about spiritual giftings and spiritual power, says this is for you and to those who listen to you. That means that word that has been being preached now for 2,000 years, 2,023 years, 2,000, well, I guess it's 1,900 years, right? Because 1,990, because he was 33, whatever the case is, you know what I'm talking about. For 2,000 years, just short of 2,000 years, what they said was the very things that he did here, he's going to do back in later in 2023, later in 2050, later in 3,000 and whatever people are living. He's going to do those things. So this is for our church. This is for the abundant living church today. I want you to notice that the church in 33 AD did not have to condemn the world they were living in. Peter didn't stand up and say, "Oh my gosh, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this." What did Peter say? He preached Jesus crucified and resurrected, and then said, "Now all you need to do is repent." 3,000 of them bowed to their knees instantly and repented of their sin and their wayward life and their rebellion instantly. The church didn't have to stand there and condemn them. They just spoke the word under the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the condemned judged themselves. They judged themselves. They came to the place where it wasn't the church judging them. Peter wasn't judging them. Peter made a statement about Jesus Christ, said all you need to do is repent. And they said, whoa, woe is me. I'm wrong. I'm dirty. I'm a sinner. I'm rebellious. I'm this and that. Please forgive me, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. They just had to speak the word. They just had to speak the powerful word led by the Holy Spirit. And those who were sinners judged themselves. See, that's not happening in the church today. People are sitting in the pews and they're hearing words that are tickling their ears and they're all like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. This is okay. This is okay. This is, I know it's sin. I just heard this. I know it's sin, but I'm okay. No, you're not. If it's sin, it's not okay. If it's sin, you got to get it right with Jesus. And this is where the church is today. Oh, well, let's not tell anybody that they're sin. Let's not tell anybody that they may not go to heaven. You know, we want to tickle theirs. We want to grow a large church. Well, listen, I don't need to grow a large church. God has blessed us one here. Do I want to grow the church? I surely do. I want to see it happen. But I also don't want to stand before Jesus and have him say, why didn't you tell them this? Why didn't you speak the word? Why didn't you tell them about this and this and this? Why didn't you tell them what they needed to do? The word of the suffering, the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, was all that they needed to hear. They just needed to know that there was a Savior. They just needed to know that he came to forgive them. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his church, in the lives of his followers, the people all around began to find hope and forgiveness for their lives, and peace and joy began to fill their hearts. That's what we need in 2023. We need men and women that will stand behind the pulpit and speak the word of God. Speak the things that Jesus says, what Jesus came to do, the mission of Jesus Christ, and just throw it out to other people and say, listen, if this word is registering in your heart, you've heard me say it like this. I don't know if I use the right word all the time. But if something is agitating inside of your spirit, it's the Lord. He's speaking to you today. Don't leave this place without getting it right with him. There was no need to give them a bunch of rules. There was no need to give them a bunch of regulations, which is what the church basically does today. You got to jump through this hoop. You got to jump through that hoop. No. Present Jesus in all the power, in all the glory of the Holy Spirit, and tell them if you want to, if this means something to you, if this is registering your heart, then make your life right with Jesus. Come to him. Once they heard the truth of Jesus' mission here on earth, all they had to hear was that there was a way for them to be forgiven for all that they had ever done in their lives. And they jumped at the chance and they changed their own lives to follow Christ. Let me say that again. They jumped at the chance. They received Jesus, but then they also changed their own lifestyles to line up with Jesus Christ. Secondly, they had a spiritual oneness with their Heavenly Father and with each other. They had a new connection of faith, a new confession of faith that drew them together. You know, years ago, I started to tell the men, listen, guys, you know, we can get together, we can talk about football, and we can talk about cars, and we can talk about what we do and how, and that's great, but none of us are ever going to agree on all of those things. And so what do we want to talk about whenever we gather together as men? You know what we want to talk about? The one thing that we all agree on, the one thing that we all have in common, Jesus Christ. And since we started doing that in our men's group, can I tell you how tight that group is? And the difference that it has made over the last 3 or 4 years in our men's group. Because we no longer have the things. I mean, we'll play darts and we'll play horseshoes. And you know what? There's nobody ever upset that they got beat. It's like, hey, man, that was a great game. Now let's go get and talk about Jesus. It's amazing. Those men that attend the meeting, you know what I'm talking about. Tell me if I'm lying. It's the truth. There was a new confession of faith that united their lives together. The men here at this church have a confession of faith that unites our lives together. Not to mention we love to eat. They separated themselves from the perverse generation. They did it. They didn't need somebody saying, you shouldn't be doing that anymore. You should. No. They say, wait a minute. He died for me. He rose again for me. He paid the price. I'm going to accept him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm not going to live that way again. I'm going to turn from those things. They also found a oneness in the doctrine of the apostles and in the ordinances of the practices of things like public worship, fellowship in the breaking of bread. That is not just the communion meal, though it was that. It's also they went from house to house and ate together. They ate meals together. They fellowshiped together. And prayer and praise. They found the importance of being together. The church in America doesn't understand the importance of being together for prayer and praise. They don't understand it. And these things brought them fulfillment, and these things brought them happiness, and these things brought them wholeness. Let me say again what the church in 2023 should be doing. We should be coming together more and more for public worship. We should be, that's our living room nights. I'm going to be excited to get the holidays over and go back to them, because that night is a powerful night when 20 or 22 of us gather together and just sing songs, praise in public, and publicly worship Jesus Christ. There's a fellowship in the breaking of bread. There's a fellowship when we pull that table out and we set it up with communion and we give it. But there's also a fellowship when you invite another couple to your home, when you invite people to your house. We are looking at and wondering about right now and praying about, and something you can pray with us, maybe doing some home groups again. We've never gotten them to really be powerful here in this church, but we're looking at some new avenues and some things that are happening. So pray with us. That if it's supposed to happen, God would lead us. If it's not supposed to happen, then it's not going to happen. But that's what they did, from house to house, fellowshipping, breaking bread, and prayer and praise. These things brought them together. The truth at work in each of them created genuine love in their hearts for each other. They had a love that was beyond. How do I know that? Because it tells us that there wasn't one in their group that had need of anything. Now, I don't know how the church in 2023 gets here, but you know what they did? Whenever they sold land, whenever they had, you know what they did? They put it all in one pot and they took care and they divided things out as needed. I think in the world we live in today, could it work? It definitely could. Will it work? I don't know, because I don't know that the church is there. I don't know that the mindset of the people that attend church is there. And so I would never ask you to do those things unless the Lord really led it upon us. But think about what this church did. Think about what they accomplished. We do see that. We see this very model in the people who come and do our Christmas concert for us, Life Mission. Christian community who take vows of poverty, who run their own business, and everybody is taken care of and the money is doled out as there is need within the community. But you see, it takes 3 or 4 years to become a member there. Why? Because they want to make sure that you really get the heart of what they're doing. Because it's not for everybody, and not a lot of people would want to do it. But it works. And we see it. We see the way they train their children that can play these classical instruments, and just, they didn't go to school for that. They trained them. It's amazing the things that they're able to do. They loved much, the Bible says. Luke 7:47, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Do you know why I don't think there's a lot of love in the church in 2023 today? Is because we don't really recognize what we've been forgiven of. We come to the altar, we say the little prayer that the pastor leads us in, and then we go out and basically live life pretty much the same way we did before, with a few little changes. And so we don't recognize, wait a minute, Jesus forgave me of some powerful stuff. Jesus forgave me of some great stuff. I mean, I've been forgiving much, and to whom we've been forgiven much, much love comes into their hearts, that they love much. This love was active, and I believe one of the factors that caused the church to grow so greatly, because people came into their midst and they found out that they could be loved. Listen, one thing I love about our church is we do love one another. I believe genuinely, and I believe we're family, and I know this because when we say goodbye at the end of this service, it'll take a half hour, an hour for the church to clear out, where some churches in 5 minutes, their parking lot is empty. There's something about our church. I'm not saying we're perfected by any means, but there is something about the love and the acceptance that we have toward one another. The love was seen in everything they did, in every way they cared for each other. And I think about the scripture where Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. Hallelujah. We see that there was none among them that lacked anything. And then you know what that love caused them to do? Get this. That love caused them to take a lively interest in each other's spiritual welfare. You see, when you come into a relationship in a church body where there's love flowing, you know what? You care when a brother or sister hasn't been seen in a while. And you're right on the phone or you're at their door saying, where have you been? What's been going on? You care when a brother or sister falls. You care about the things that people are going through. There's a genuine interest in each other's spiritual welfare. I want to make sure my brother Ron is doing okay. So I keep after him. Hey, Ron, how you doing with this situation? You know, we're in accountability, he and I, so we know that there's a lot going on in each other's lives. So I can check on him in certain ways. I need to make sure my brother John's doing okay. I need to make sure my sister Maria is doing okay. But we're so busy with life. We're so busy with everything else. And I don't know that we truly love the way we're supposed to love, that we truly have an interest in each other's spiritual welfare. Because if we did, even things that I know are going on in our church right now wouldn't be happening, or there'd be more people involved in situations and circumstances that aren't. Now, I can't judge those things. I can just say and pray, and that's what I'm doing. I'm praying every day, Lord, help us in this. It is evident that they were not connected together by any of those ties which were found regularly in the kingdoms of their world. It wasn't the world that brought them together. It wasn't their, oh, we go to the same bar together, we go to the same school together, we drive the same route together. It wasn't those things. It was, no, we love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, and because we've experienced the love of Jesus in our hearts, and Jesus has forgiven us of great things, guess what? I care about you. I love you. I'm committed to you. And I'm going to do what I can to be a part of your life so that we can see things happen and see you grow in the Lord and me grow in the Lord. Their fears, their hopes, their joys, and their sorrows were all of a spiritual and heavenly tendency. And they were animated by one object of pursuit, and that was the attainment of the glory, the honor, the immortality that was promised to them by their Lord Jesus Christ. That's what mattered. What we see in the church of 33 AD is what we need to see in the church of 2023. A oneness and a togetherness that is so far into the world that we live in today, they won't understand it. They'll ridicule you for it. You know, David and Jonathan, now with the homosexual community having so much precedence in our world today, you know, there were claims long ago, but now it's even getting stronger. Well, yeah, you know, because now everybody's looking for homosexuality in the Bible. Well, it's there, but it's not there in a good sense, let me tell you. It's there in judgment is what God's going to judge it. But, oh, well, look at David and Jonathan. The Bible says that they loved each other so much. They were homosexuals. They were gay. No, they weren't. They loved the Lord so much, and they understood what God was doing in their life. Jonathan was giving up his throne to David. Do you understand that? He would be the next king. He was Saul's son. He would be the next king. And he gave that up for his love for his friend David, because God had brought them so close together that he was honored that David was going to take the throne over him. That's the love that they had. That's the love that we need to have. That's the love that the church in 2023 needs to have. A oneness and a toughness that is so far into the world. A love for the fellowship and the togetherness of the saints that has been lost to the chaos and the busyness of this world and all of its mandates upon our lives. We need to see in the church of today the kingdom of Christ, which is established with all the possible evidence that it is just as Jesus said, this kingdom is not of this world. You see what I'm saying? A church that understands that our laws, which are our divine origin and authority, are superior to any other laws that this world might create and try to impose upon us. Let me say that again, because the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ today in America, does not vote this way. A church that understands that our laws, which are of divine origin and authority, right here, are superior to any other laws that this world might create and try to impose upon us. You know what that does? That brings, if nothing else, that brings to us every time we cast a vote, we cannot cast a vote for anybody who backs abortion. Can't do it. It's against the laws of God. Oh yeah, but I'm going to make more money this way, or they're a better person. I don't care. You cannot do that and be a Christian. I know, oh boy, now people are going to be mad at me. I'm telling you. How do you do that? I'm not saying your choice is going to be the best. I'm just saying, how do you do that? How do you talk about those things? Listen, we need to get real about these things. What I'm saying is this: we need to obey God rather than man. That's what I'm saying. It's God's laws over man's laws. Now, I don't know how you vote against abortion today, because it's everywhere. We need to be people whose practices are not comfort or conformable to this world. You need to be a person. You need to be a brother in the Lord. You need to be a sister in the Lord whose your lifestyle cannot conform with this world. that people are going to see. Now, I'm not saying you can't have fun and be a part of things of the world. I'm saying don't give up your salvation. Don't give up your personal beliefs. Don't give up your personal morality and compromise it with the things of this world. Does that make sense? We got to stop doing that. The church in 33 AD would not do that. We need to be a people whose hopes and fears brought on by concerns are not brought on by the concerns for the things of this world. In other words, I'm not going to be down in the dumps. I called my brother yesterday because he lives in Maine. And I said, yo, Dave, I said, remember, I'm your closest brother. Remember that. And he's like, what's this all about? I said, Dave, remember, I love you with all of my heart. He said, what's this all about? I said, I just heard somebody in Maine won the $1.35 billion. I thought maybe it was you. He said, no, you'd have to play to win, and I don't play. I don't gamble. I said, well, I just thought I'd call you and see. That's all. But see, we're not caught up in the things of the world. And if this church was the church, and if this was the church then it's got to be signs of the church today. If we truly claim to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ and members of the body of Christ, we have to look like the church that God started, the church that Christ started. Here's my fear today, and I'm closing. My fear is that we are so far from it and that it's hard for many to discern the power and the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives that turned 3,000 men to God in one day. But I don't believe that we're too far away from it as a church that we cannot turn back. Do you hear what I'm saying? For the same Holy Spirit who breathed on them and the same Holy Spirit who cleansed them with tongues of fire upon their heads is still active in the world today and in the church today. I believe that. Can I get an amen? Now, I cannot speak to other churches and I cannot speak to other congregations, for I'm the pastor of only one, this one. But I do believe that the Abundant Living Church will be one of the churches that will belong when matched up with the New Testament church of 33 AD. Because I am vying for that in my own life. And I'm fighting for that on my knees every time I come to this church to pray. And I believe that God is not finished with us yet. We're not where He needs us to be, but we're going to continue to move forward. How many will believe that with me? How many will pray about that with me? Amen. How many will seek God on your own to say, God, do that in my own life first? Amen. Praise God. I know this was a weird message. I don't know if I delivered everything I needed to deliver, but I think that's what the Lord gave me. One of these things just doesn't belong here. But I pray that when we are lined up with the church of 33 AD, when we are lined up with the church that Jesus breathed life into through the Holy Spirit, the church that was His church, that we would at least look something very similar to what they look like, even in the day that we're living. And that's what people will say. Well, Pastor, it's a different day. Pastor, there's different. Yeah, but it's not a different word. Amen. It's not a different word.